The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Du hast mich.
Du hast mich.
Looks like the pizza of endorsements coming through.
Nice.
We're gonna have to do some. Which means we're gonna have a pizza night. I would love to be able to do that in here, but I don't think that. I could always do it outside.
Exactly. You got a big garage out there, too.
Yeah, that was open this morning. Every once in a while that happens.
Yeah.
It's weird. Always makes me think, did we get robbed? Also,
They're getting a lot of stuff together for Country in the Park.
There's a plug in there for cars, for people with electric cars, and nobody parks in there right now. This is how much of not a man I am. I won't do it because I'm afraid of the rats in there. I've seen one.
That's why?
Like, I will go in there and one will just come.
Oh, on. I thought you were talking about the people.
No, the rats. There's rats in that garage, dude.
Yeah,
and God knows what else. Yeah, well, birds are fine.
Oh.
I mean,
birds
unless...
get the rats.
Fine. I just don't want to see a rat alive or dead anywhere near. Just not a fan.
Ever since you got rat flapped?
I got that whole rat flap fiasco. You know, funny enough, I had two separate rats growing up as pets. Like, those rats were cool. Those are like house rats. Those are fine. Not wild rats. Wild rats, I have no place for them. And like in New York where they have the rats that look like beavers.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm good, dude. I'm good. Speaking of rats, Rick Carlisle thinks the refs are a bunch of rats after this series so far. The Knicks go up 2-0. It has been a pretty fun series. Jalen Brunson's been fantastic.
To their best player, Brunson. Five to shoot. Brunson drives. Brunson scores! Trying to put the lights out on the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, they did put the lights out. Good win for New York. They go up 2-0, 130-121, despite Tyrese Halliburton's 34-9-6. He just couldn't overcome Jalen Brunson's 29, Isaiah Hartenstein's 14-12, Ananobi's 28, though he's hurt. So follow that one, 28 in 28 minutes. And Dante DiVincenzo's 28, Josh Hart, as we talked about earlier, the most underrated player in the NBA. 19 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block. But, Jason, it was the story out of this game at the end. Rick Carlisle talking about missed calls.
Couple examples. 5:08 of the third. You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back. And Hart comes up and shoves him in the back. And it's all over Twitter right now because a few people have showed it to me. And J.B. DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play. And he shoves Ty right in the corner, and there's no whistle. Right in the back. And so that was shocking, you know. And there are many others. But I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. You know, you I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But, you know, we deserve a fair shot, you know, and it's just not, there's not a consistent balance.
There's not a consistent balance.
Didn't he just make it about the officials?
He did.
And the team submitting, 78 calls that they say over games 1 and 2?
We're going to return to that because that's pretty insane. Your point, though, is very valid that he doesn't want to make it about the officials, and he doesn't want the players to make it about the officials, but he just made it about the officials. T.J. McConnell, one of the leaders of the team, spoke on that after the game.
I mean, we love Rick showing that type of energy on the court, and unfortunate that he got ejected, but that's not the feeling that we have in the locker room. We're not going to sit here and blame officials. We got to be better. It's just that simple. They smashed us on the boards again tonight and just brought more energy than we did. So we got to fix that.
That's the right thing to say.
Absolutely. I mean, the rebound has been the story of the series. It's really been the story of the Knicks season. They get every important rebound, seemingly, and a lot of them are backbreaking offensive rebounds. Where Carlisle, I know Carlisle in the cut you played referenced a play with Halliburton in the third quarter.
Yeah.
To me, where I think he first lost his stuff was on the overturned double dribble, and it wasn't a double dribble.
Right. And that's also, they overturned it, even though there's no mechanism to overturn
it. It's a weird premise.
After not overturning the kickball,
right,
which there's no mechanism. Right. It's a complete, the refs have been a crap show in this series, let's be honest.
I agree with that. I mean, it's just, you know, you want the right calls. I think they had the wrong call, overturned it without review. It's weird, but I think he was more angry probably about the totality of what happened the other day to this one. It's like, why are we on the wrong end of all of these?
He did talk about submitting the missed calls.
After game one, we always go through the film. And games where it felt like, you know, the whistles weren't balanced. And we pull the clips. And there's a way you can submit them to the MDA office. In the playoffs, when you submit things, the other team sees what you submit. And so there were 29 plays in game one that we thought were clearly called the wrong way. I decided not to submit them because I just felt like, we'd get a more balanced whistle tonight. It didn't feel that way.
Yeah, to me, you know, I don't have as much of an issue about this saying this last night, right? Right after the game, heat of the moment, you got ejected. You're also kind of working for games 3 and 4 now back in your building. But from this point on, I think it needs to be, okay, wait a minute now. We were up 10 on the road at the half. Brunson's in the locker room. We're not sure he's coming back. He does come back. Okay. Yeah. Then OG Anunoby's out, doesn't return. We gave up 130 points to the Knicks, who aren't the most dynamic offense. It's like we couldn't stop them. We got to figure out why when we had all sorts of advantages. I know a lot of people were talking about how maybe Carlisle had some miscues when not playing T.J. McConnell a little bit more and some other things. So the grabbing onto the official parts after the game is fine to me. Now it's focusing on, hey, look, you've had leads in both of these games in New York, but you're 0-2. You could still win this series. What do we need to do to figure out how to do that?
Well, the Pacers, to your point, a couple of points I want to back up that you made. The Pacers are plus 19 with T.J. McConnell on the court, minus 32 with T.J. McConnell on the bench. And last night, Jason, T.J. McConnell in 23 minutes off the bench had 10 points and 12 assists. T.J. McConnell did not play in the final 7 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
That's on Rick Carlisle. The second thing on Rick Carlisle, as we go to break here, he makes a comment on small market teams.
You know, one guy just said he didn't double dribble. But it looked to me like, you know, Tibbs went out there and argued it and they changed it. That's what it looked like. You know, so I can only go by what I see, what I saw. And, you know, that's small beans compared to everything else, you know. But, you know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
So the question there, though, and Carlisle is going to be about 25 or 50 grand lighter in the wallet come today or tomorrow. But he's obviously taken one for the team here. But on one hand, you could push back on and say, yeah, Rick, well, Minnesota and Oklahoma City are 11-0 combined in the playoffs, and they're both smaller markets than Indianapolis. But then you look at Oklahoma City's playing Dallas. Okay, that's a bigger market. But Denver is also kind of a mid-level market as well. It's the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. This is a big deal. I alluded before the break. To me, the baller move is this. So Brian Windhorst and everybody, you mentioned it earlier. They're reporting that the Pacers have submitted 78 missed calls in two games, in their opinion. Missed calls in two games to the NBA league office. Now, the only way, well, I guess it's one of two ways. The only way that Brian Windhorst finds out that there were 78 missed calls submitted is if the Pacers leak it or the league office leaks it. There's no reason for the league office to leak it. So the Pacers leaked this, which I think is an incredibly baller move to do because nobody's going to get fined for that. That carries far more weight than anything Carlisle is going to say, anything coaches say. That should actually be a regular practice where you're leaking to the media. I want to talk to Sam about this. Just leak how many calls you're sending when it's egregious like that. Now, look, I can say relatively certainly there were not 78 missed calls in favor of the Knicks in two games. I'm pretty sure there's a little bias in there. But what if there were 10? What if there were 14? And honestly, I guarantee you there's been a call missed or a few calls missed for the Knicks. I want to see that disparity before I really understand the context. I know, especially for this market and for people like us, you know, the whole small market thing is out there. But I need context and mathematics.
Yeah, because of all the finals you and I have watched at the Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers. I mean, all these big they're there all the time.
Yeah, the Bulls lately.
But I mean, look, this is work in the room. This is prepping for games 3 and 4 and trying to get the whistle in those games.
What you're doing in that case, if you're Rick Carlisle, is you're kind of playing the PR game in a sense too, where you're trying to grow suspicion. You're trying to foster suspicion, and when you look at the list, because I'm assuming they also mailed it as well, the list. The book of missed calls, they think, has got to be this thick. And it makes you think maybe they went to upsizematters.com before they made that call and that submission. My goodness. I mean, I don't know how Rick feels, but girth is consistently ranked as the most important attribute for guys. And that's the result of a poll they put out there. Carmichael Dave, letting you know that 3 for Madness is next. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you about my friends at UpsizeMatters.com. Dr. Friedlander in Roseville, Dr. Pash in San Francisco, doctors doing these virtually pain-free same-day procedures that are non-surgical and that give you immediate results. Hey, what a way to get ready for the weekend, you know? What are you doing this weekend? I'm getting girthy. Safe, effective, long-lasting. Then you get a free consultation, and then that procedure can be done the same day as your consultation. That's how quick and easy it is. And hey, look, what do you know? Might need to get a new pair of pants. Look, maybe it's an issue. Jesus. Maybe it's an issue for somebody out there. There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's got it. It's fine. Or maybe you're like, I don't have an issue, but I wouldn't mind stuck my game up. All right, go to UpsizeMatters.com. Go to UpsizeMatters.com, read more about it, see the results for yourself. Get your girth on. 30-second break, 3 for Madness next.
Three questions, three answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Sports business. The Kelly brothers.
Good at business.
He's back off vacation, and he will join us here at 7:30. talk about the Rivercats struggling with attendance. And Caleb Williams, no agent. I love it. In the meantime, three for Madness. Chris for Law, question one.
OKC faces Dallas tonight in game two. The Mavericks win if...
I think the Mavericks win if Doncic and Irving have great games and they're able to kind of tighten up that interior defense. Dallas excels in that interior zone at times when they're on their game. And if you have the ability, look, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to do his thing. But if you can keep Chet Holmgren off the boards and outside shooting threes and Luka and Kyrie do their playoff thing that they can do, I think they have a good chance of winning. Yeah, they lost game one, but this is a very close game in the third quarter. It's not like what Minnesota's been doing. This could be a very good game too.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Luka part too. I was saying yesterday, I don't think he looks quite right. I think he's a little bit banged up, and if he can fight through that and still have an impressive game to go with what Kyrie can do, I think they're a good rebounding team as well. Can maybe do some damage against OKC there. So kind of putting all those elements together, and like we always say, if you get the split, you've got home court back. Like, yep. OKC's still in control. They've won 10 in a row going back to the regular season. Got to find a way to cool them off. And if Dallas can win today, then they get the home court back in their favor.
Well, the series hasn't started yet.
That's right. It's just 1-0.
Road team is not one.
Yep.
Number two, please.
Question two.
Boston faces Cleveland tonight in game two. The Cavs win if...
I'm not trying to be funny here. The Cavs win if they play their best and the Celtics have a bad game. That's what I think it would take for the Cavs to win. You're going to have Jason Tatum with 6 of 16. Jaylen Brown didn't really show up. And Donovan Mitchell just, and Evan Turner go off. I think the Celtics would have to play mid at best. I think the Celtics cannot play their best and sweep this series. I think they'd have to play average at best to lose a game here.
I'm with you. I think the one thing, and it happens every once in a while to Boston, and for whatever reason, sometimes more so at home, like they'll just have a clunker. And I kind of feel like that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And, it is another NBA team, and certainly Cleveland. I think Cleveland can win a game, but I wouldn't pick it. I just feel at this point Boston's just clearly the better team. Mitchell was pretty good the other day, but Mitchell needed more help, and they've even got size. You can see some elements that maybe Cleveland could do something, but Boston's too well-rounded. They're just too good.
My trip in here, do I remember, speaking of Jason Tatum being out, wasn't there a game in the playoffs last year where he was like, 0 of 87, and then had like 20 or 30 or something in the fourth quarter.
Something like that.
Does that ring a bell with you? He is capable of having clunkers at times, but, he's also one of those guys where he could have nothing through three and then look out in the fourth quarter. Number three, speaking of.
Question three.
Was having Reggie Miller on the call for the Pacers, Knicks, and MSG a troll move by TNT?
Yeah, this is stupid. I did not like this. Because as a Kings fan, if we're in the second round and we're playing the Lakers and Robert Horry's on the call Shaq rest of the soul if Kobe was still around and on the call and was an announcer. I'd hate that. I would hate that. And one of the all-time, and we just went over biggest sports beasts of all time.
Yeah.
And one of them was Spike Lee and Reggie Miller. Now, look, I'm not a Knicks fan. I loved it. From that, I understand it's entertaining. I understand the entertainment side of it, but that's a troll job. And if I'm a Knicks fan, I am pissed about that. All the other analysts and teams you have, and you're putting Reggie flipping Miller. Yeah. I love the whole Spike Lee interaction. It's entertaining, and I fully acknowledge it. And as a Kings fan, I'm like, great. But I feel hypocritical if I don't point out. I think that was a kind of a junk move by TNT.
And the Knicks fans, in a playful spirit, when they knew it's kind of like the light the beam chant, they said some special things to Reggie Miller late in the game.
Which he didn't understand until Josh Hart came and corrected it. Thanks, Josh.
I know. And then everyone was like, hey, Josh Hart swore it. It's like, no, he was saying what the fans were saying. But anyway.
Which sounds like they were very happy that Reggie Miller was in the building.
Yes.
I think in the end they were.
Yeah.
I think look, in the end
won,
it worked out.
They got to taunt him a little bit. My other thought on it was unnecessary. Like the whole postseason we've had, Brian Anderson with Stan Van Gundy.
Right.
And then now you just throw in Reggie. It just didn't feel like... Reggie's been with Jamal Crawford and Harlan on a bunch of series, and now you just throw Reggie in. Like, it did feel like that was a little ploy, right? Like, why
it was.
He hasn't been working that series.
No.
And, oh, let's throw him in here.
I think that was the thing the whole time. They wanted to make sure that they got him in. Unnecessarily, you know. I don't know, man. Like I said, it was entertaining to me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because I don't have a dog in the fight. But if that had happened to my team, I would have been very angry.
If that game was at Indiana last night, did they call him in? I don't think they do. I know that's the team he played for, but I think there's even less reason to bring him in if it's in Indiana.
Yeah, because you're not going to have that same drama.
Right.
You know, they want Reggie Miller in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's fine. I mean,
unnecessary.
Very, very unnecessary. Hey, listen, coming up at 7:43 after Kelly Brothers, we're going to talk about this Patrick Beverley ball-throwing incident. Now, he's since, you know, apologized to the reporter for not allowing her to interview him or be a part of the scrum, we should say, because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast. And then he went on his own podcast and was like, I got to be better. We're going to talk at length about that. But here's TNT talking about the incidents.
Meantime, we've talked about Pat Beverley in the course of this series, you know, and you even said, love watching Pat Beverley play.
Yes.
Because he brings energy, brings an edge to the floor.
He's tough.
If he doesn't cross the line. But tonight, it appears, we don't know the circumstances, but it certainly appears he crossed the line.
Oh, he hit that lady in the head.
Throws a ball in the stands.
He hit that lady back,
and he fires it back.
Oh, he gone. He going to get suspended.
Man,
he hit that lady in the head.
That'll be next.
Obviously, he was trying to hit that guy. It don't matter who he was trying to hit.
Yeah.
You can't hit no lady, ever.
Yeah.
And then
you can't throw a ball
twice.
A fan in the
I understand
general.
That,
Jeez.
But like, listen, I've done stupid stuff, and I got criticized. That's just wrong. He gonna get suspended for that, and that's gonna be a good one too, because he didn't do it once; he did it twice.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I still think he's.
You said 15.
I said 15. What was the bet? I think at least five, I think.
Yeah, it was at least five or lower is what I
thought.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll talk about that because the police are involved now. And you know, what? Who knows? Yeah. But you got to think Adam Silver now. This is such a – not to everybody. I want to over-dramatize it. I don't think this is like Marty McSorley or the Malice in the Palace or – any of that stuff. Like, let's not get carried away. But I think by the letter of the law, both NBA and otherwise, it's a big deal. And the one thing Patrick said, though, and again, we'll get into this, is he said he was called a word he's never been called before. And I feel like you got to be a little bit more specific. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just be real clear before we go to break. I can't think of anything somebody could say worse than calling him the N-word.
Uh-huh.
That's the word we're all thinking.
Sure.
If the guy called him that word, it still doesn't justify what he did. Now, the guy should have been reported, removed, and never been allowed to see another game in that arena ever again or any NBA arena. Like, that's the move. You don't get to – now, I'm a big players are humans too.
Right.
And they have a right to defend themselves and to speak up.
And that's right behind the bench. Everybody would have heard
that. That's what I'm saying. I would like some clarification. Because here's the other thing. There are still, unfortunately, words, places in sports where that disgusting word is used. Let's not leave that open to interpretation and water anything down. Like, I would love to get some clarification. But that's Pat Beverley's business. Either way, it shouldn't affect one way or the other what happens. Other than, again, if that is what happened, I'd love to know about it as part of the public. And I'd love to see that guy who was clearly on camera. I'd love to see him banned for life from the arena, which is at the very least what should happen. We'll take a break. When we come back, Kelly Brothers Sports Business next.
Joining us now on SportsSense, certified financial planner Kelly Brothers. Kelly is an advisor with CapTrust, one of the nation's largest registered investment advisors. CapTrust counts among its clients numerous pro athletes and pro sports franchises, but most importantly serves many Northern Californians through comprehensive financial planning.
Here's Kelly Brothers.
Oh, welcome back.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Good to see you. How was your week off there, Kelly? What'd you do?
It was good. I had some business. I had to visit a few clients who have left the great state of California. But that's the good news too, because I get to go places I've never gone before. I was in Miami. I got to see the run up to the F1 race there. There is more money in Miami than I ever imagined. You just go down the rows of the boats there, and you can see that. So I got to see that, and then we were in Nashville, and just great to see, what sports and venues can do. I mean, there was one night in Nashville where Morgan Wallen played to 65,000 people at Nissan Stadium. Wow. And there was a hockey playoff game the same night. And the place was, like I said, I just fantasize about this moment in Sacramento sports history where you have the A's playing next May, and hopefully the Kings go deep in the playoffs next May, and you got both going on at the same time. And I just want to see the Tower Bridge fall into the river, given how many people are going back and forth.
Love it.
So it was good. Good trip.
Well, good to have you back, Kelly. Some news that's out there that's, as a longtime commercial flyer with the Sacramento Monarchs, back working with them when they were here, the days of charter is what we all talked about back then, and now we're talking years and years ago. Well, here we are. The WNBA is advancing. Ratings, women's basketball is all growing, and probably one of their biggest steps, charter flights for the WNBA teams now. That's a pretty exciting moment for them.
I think they just realized they couldn't have Caitlin Clark in position C-17 getting on a Southwest flight every night. So they went to charter flights. It's going to cost the league $25 million a year, but they feel the time is now. They are framing it as a safety issue for the players. I'm not sure that's the case, but it certainly puts them into a new category if you're dropping $25 million a year on charter flights. And it also, obviously, it just feels like a bigger league when that is the case. Absolutely. And a more important league and a more relevant league. So that's a big step. It's a small step in terms of for most people, but for the WNBA to say we are moving toward all charters for all teams. They're not there yet. They're trying to get there probably by the end of the season. That's a big move, and I think a nice sign of how much growth we've seen in the WNBA.
And I remember reading something. I got to try to find it, but I want to say it was a year or two ago. One of the owners of one of the teams offered to pay for the whole thing themselves to charter these flights, and the WNBA kind of turned it down because they just didn't want to set a precedent or whatever the hell it was. Now they're instituting it. There's been talk this week on a major sports podcast about, why have it be the Indiana Fever? All the teams should be like the W Pacers, the W this, the W that. And Kelly, what's interesting is that the success and eyeballs on Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, which was already hitting some growth before Caitlin Clark, let's be honest, it's kind of having an interesting side effect. You're hearing a lot more rumbles these days about Vivek Ranadive, with his flirtations with the A's. One of the first things Vivek said when he took ownership of the Kings 12 years ago was, we're going to bring back the Monarchs. And the WNBA commissioner just talked about expansion, I think, 2 days ago, and Sacramento was not on that list. So I think Vivek's going to have to – someone's going to pose that question to him very soon. Why are we not hearing about this? Where are you on it? And you promised you were going to bring back the Monarchs. Where are they?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a little surprised we were not on that list, just given – the fact that Vivek had talked about it in the past, but so we'll see. I mean, there is a limiting factor here, and that is Sacramento is, I mean, it's a major metropolitan area, but a study just came out this week, guys, about our reliance on the public sector. That's not a bad thing, but it is what it is. We are the city most reliant on the public sector in the nation, according to the Urban Institute in DC. And what does that mean? That means more than half of our jobs are state, county, city, or in industries that are totally tied to the, think lobbying industries, that sort of thing. So it's and that you know, those they have, these are jobs with incredible benefits and in many cases incredible pensions, but they're not jobs that allow for, you know, multiple pro sports season ticket packages at the same time. So there are some limiting factors here as well. The other note I wanted to make, Dave, is, you know, some of these schools, depending on, you know, depending on where they are, some of these schools have chartered for their college basketball teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, so you had some of these players who were coming off of charters in college and now going back to Southwest Airlines in the pros, and that didn't look good either.
No.
Well, and you know, I will say this, though, too, and then we can move on. But for me, it's always been about, let me get this right here. I don't think any athletes, male or female, or any league, male or female, should be, you know, it's about getting paid what you're worth. And what is worth, that's always subject to interpretation. And if a league is losing money, then, you know, oftentimes you would see, well, the NBA player is being paid this, and the WNBA player is being paid that, and that's not fair. Nope. Let's get some mathematical context there. If the NBA is making God knows how many billions, and the WNBA, whether it's losing money or obviously making less, what I think is fair, Kelly, is I believe NBA players make 51% of BRI, or basketball-related income. WNBA players should make 51% of BRI. Now when you get to percentages, that's fair. So in college, I think for the longest time, and perhaps still, I still believe your top programs are more profitable program to program than WNBA teams. And obviously there's growth and TV contracts and a lot to be put in there. But at some point it's like, how much can the league afford to invest and maintain some form of health? And I'm glad to see what tells me these charter flights is that there's actual numerical evidence now that the WNBA is making money, or at least enough to justify this. And I think that's a really good sign for them.
No, it is. And it goes back to what we talked about, the college game. You know, is this really a surge in the interest in women's basketball, or is this Caitlin Clark?
Right.
And that surge will fade. We don't know the answer yet. You hope it sticks, or you hope at least a significant portion of it sticks. We'll find out when Iowa's on TV next year, how much of it sticks around. Guys, the other thing I want to mention was, you know, the Rivercats, because we talk about kind of the overall capacity of a region to support pro sports teams. You know, the Rivercats, attendance-wise, are hurting a little bit. I mean, they're around 5,000 people a game. This is a team that has averaged in the past for a year 10,000 people a game. They're averaging about 5. My inbox was hit with this incredible offer yesterday, $99. You basically get a season ticket from now till the end of the year. So they're doing all they can to promote and get people into the stadium. But it really makes you wonder next year, who's going to be buying Rivercats tickets with the A's playing there every week? You know, now I have no doubt the A's will sell out every game next year. No doubt. But the question is, how much will be left over for interest in the Rivercats? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I've always felt, and I don't know if you feel the same way, Kelly, like I think this market gets attached to their teams, but generally, I feel like they get attached to whatever the highest level that is. So if you've got the A's here versus the Rivercats, I'm with you. I think people are going to go see the A's as opposed to the Rivercats.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. Usually you have a better chance of kind of developing that connection with a team and players when it's a major league team. AAA players are coming and going all the time. So it's hard to – the roster at the beginning of the year looks very different than the roster at the end of the year.
Right.
So I just hope that there's a way to make sure that the Rivercats are cultivated and get enough of a showing so that at least if the A's do indeed eventually go to Vegas, we still have something left at the end.
Well, the funny thing is that Vivek Ranadive is bringing in a major league team owned by somebody else to play rent-free in his stadium that he owns. And having his team that he owns now compete with a major league stadium or a major league team for disposable income in dollars, as you said, to the tune of, you know, 70, 80 games a year. There's got to be something else behind that. I'd be really interested to see the nuts and the bolts of the deal, Kelly, because, again, it's rent-free, and it's like, imagine you own a restaurant that serves cheeseburgers, and you allow Morton's to come in and serve steaks out of your kitchen for the same price or a similar price as your cheeseburgers. What the hell are you doing?
It is the A's, so let's just say Sizzler. No, I'm only kidding.
That's a great point. That's a great point. My God, you're right.
You know, and I will say this. I always want to see the best in people. I will just say thank you to Vivek for making the deal, because at least Sacramento as a city gets to show ourselves to be worthy of a major league team, and I think we will. So, but you're right. There's got to be something else here. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm very happy he's taken the leap of faith there. But I just hope there's a way to, and let's face it, you could move the River Cats to Sac City and have 2,500 people a night. And as long as with loud, boisterous crowds, and that would be great. That would be just fine. I actually still find it hard to believe they're going to play both teams there in the heat of summer. I'm not sure the field, you know, how the field takes that. So anyway,
Kelly, in our final minute, just one thought: why is Caleb Williams the top pick going to start his career without an agent?
That's a great question, but he's doing without an agent. Now, listen, even though it's not like you go in there with a yellow pad if you're Caleb Williams and say, okay, here's what I mean. I'm sure that whatever he comes up with, and you know, we know that NFL draft picks, there is a very specific slot of where you're going to fit years. It's all a little bit of that is preordained, or most of that is preordained. And he will certainly have the contract, I'm sure, looked at by an attorney, but he doesn't see the need to pay an agent, you know, 4%, 5%, whatever it is. So anyway, I hope he's making the right choice here. And of course, let's face it, for a lot of these guys, you know, their football contract is just one small piece of their overall incoming income, given the endorsements and the NIL money he's been receiving and everything else. But he's going to do it without an agent. So,
And we got a break, but I don't know why they all don't do that. As you said, they're preordained. You can spend $1,000 on an attorney to look over a contract versus 3%. That you're giving of that contract for a guy to come in and say, oh, here's the deal. Okay, thanks. He basically, his job is to rip pages off a fax machine, and you get 3%. It's a good deal, Kelly.
Harkening back to Jerry Maguire. I love it.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Kelly. As always, welcome back. Good to see you. Good to see you. We'll
thanks,
talk
man.
To you soon.
See you next week.
All right,
peace out, brothers.
Take care. That's Kelly Brothers Sports Business. We'll take a break when we come back. One more note on that Caleb Williams deal, and then we'll get into the Patrick Beverly incident. The police are on the scene. We'll talk about that next.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
Speaking of, this makes me think of it. It's concert week, Jason.
Sure is.
And we've given away not one, but two pairs so far. Coming up at...
I think we've given away three pair.
Have we given away three? Oh, that's right. Sorry.
NKOTB.
They're coming?
That was yesterday's concert.
Really? Remember that song, No More Games, by New Kids on the Block?
Yeah.
No more games, boys. What you saying? Peep the deepness, because Donnie ain't playing. Witness the quickness as I kick this. I'm on a mission to listen as I dismiss all the other...
Yeah, that
families
one.
By taking a stand because we're five bad brothers from the Beantown land. Yeah, my sister.
Go outside, nerd.
Played that song.
Go.
Nonstop. And by sister, I mean me. New Kids on the Block were huge for a minute.
Yeah, they were.
Huge. Who's the kid with the black hair? Jordan.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Wore the Batman shirt.
Jordan and Joey.
Joey and Donnie.
And I don't know the other
and now kid. Donnie is Mark Wahlberg's brother.
Yeah.
Although, is it bad that my memory of Donnie Wahlberg is the the guy with issues in The Sixth Sense?
Or the guy with issues in Saw?
Yeah, I know. I didn't see Saw.
You didn't see Saw?
I didn't see Saw.
No, love Seesaw.
Well, we've given away not one, not two, but three pairs. We keep going up, and the pairs we're giving away, I'm going to take you even higher. Can I?
Yeah.
Can I take you higher?
Please do.
Coming up at 8:43, promotions would not let me snake these, so they're yours. We've got Creed tickets to
can
give away.
You take me higher?
Hey, and you can go on YouTube and see their boat performance from last week.
I'm on a boat.
We got a boat raced.
I get bat flapped on a boat.
Get bat flapped on a boat. Oh, I got to do this since we're going to get into this Patrick Beverly stuff. This has nothing to do with that. Yesterday on the program, I was tuning in as I always do to the Drive Guys, and Kyle's on vacation. And I just want to say, Emil was our good friend. Emil was guest hosting, I think, with co-hosting with our friend Whitey Gleason. And I just want to say, Emil, most of us have been there before, buddy, and I got your back. Listen to this clip.
We're seeing it also in Kansas City, where there was a ballot measure that just failed, where there were the teams.
It's very important to remember here that Whitey is talking about the ballot measure in Kansas City and how it just failed. Just keep that in mind.
Chiefs and the Royals were asking for public funding, and people said, nope, we're not doing that. So fans around the country, it seems like, are less likely now to just give billions of free money to teams so they can build their stadiums and then charge us to go watch games in the stadium that we helped them build.
Look at what's happening right now in Kansas City with the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Same thing. Is there having an issue?
That. We're seeing it.
Okay, first off, hat tip to Whitey.
Yeah.
Just off the top. He's got that wit like you do, just off the top. He's like, oh, I wish I'd said that.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm weirdly enough going to stand in front of my guy, Emil, not a snack, Emil. Look, I say this because I've been there before. Was it a Sam interview a few months back? Here's what happens, and you shouldn't do it, but like, your co-host asks a question, the question's getting answered, and then maybe you're thinking of your next question, or you want something to back up what you're going to say mathematically, you know, and sometimes we don't pre-script our questions, so sometimes the interview may go a certain way and you want to chase something down. So you're on there researching different things while the person's asking and or answering the question, or maybe you're just in a chat fight with people on YouTube. Either way... And, you know, and then I don't know what you asked Sam, but you asked him something. And then I'm like, oh, and I don't think it was directly after that. I think it was a few questions later. Then I'm like, hey, Sam, what about the dirt, 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 dirt? And you gave me this weird look. And I realized instantly, oh, God, Jason asked this question. It's the worst feeling, but we've all done it. And by we all, I mean me. So
you're going to stand in front of Emil.
I'm standing in front of Emil, but that is just, I mean, it doesn't give, that's pretty, he did a whole soliloquy on Kansas City's ballot measure, and then Emil's like, well, yeah, and look what happened in Kansas City. And then Whitey, God bless him.
Yeah, the impact of Emil.
What?
The impact of Emil.
That's a great point.
Great point.
Also, this would be a good tease for a segment, but there's not enough to build the segment. Because the tease would be this, Jason. And coming back next... Dan Snyder did something nice? We'll tell you more about that with an asterisk coming up after this. Like, that's a pretty good tease, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just teased it, now I'm about to tell you. Dan Snyder has listed his Potomac, Maryland home for sale at $50 million. He then reduced it to $35 million. But now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Dan Snyder has donated it to the American Cancer Society. What? I know you're waiting for the other hammer to drop, right? It will allow Snyder to deduct the home's appraised value from his taxable income. So there's a financial benefit. I know Chris is over there going, nah, she. But just
still look, did it.
I don't purport to know everything about tax code, but let me just put it this way. The write-off he's going to get and the financial thing he's going to gain off of this, although he will, it's not going to approach what he could have gotten had he just sold the house outright.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So in a weird way, it's a nice thing that Dan Snyder did. what the hell is going on here? What's next? Sam's going to be the cool kid?
Sam is the cool kid.
He is the cool kid. He's coming up next. We'll get to this Patrick Beverly stuff later. It's evergreen, if you will. Yeah, we're going to talk to Sam. Domantas Sabonis showing up in both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year categories. Wonder if Sam was behind that. Probably not. The playoffs going on right now and so much more. It's Dave, it's Jason, it's Chris. Sam Amick joins us next.